Pastor Ed speaks of God's great desire to bless each and every one of us.
It's important here to remind, just to be reminded here today, no matter where you are in life, what your status in life is, it's just pause for a second and let me remind you that God desires to bless you. In the most purest sense, God's desire is to bless you. He says it right here. I'm going to bless all the nations through you, Abraham. It's all going to come through this covenant. You're going to be a big part of it. It started in the garden, but now Abram, in the middle of idolatry, pagan, you know, city, it's like, you're going to be a part of something special. The whole world's going to be blessed because of you.
This is amazing grace.
Glad you could join us today for Abounding Grace. Pastor Ed Taylor will be picking up where he left off in Genesis. Now today, Abram, later to be known as Abraham, enters onto the scene. And God is about to make a wonderful promise to him and bless him. Now the cool thing about this is that the Lord wants to bless us too. And we have promises of God to cling to as well. So turn to Genesis chapter 12 and we'll get started.
Take your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at the first few verses in a Bible study that I've entitled, The Wonder of God's Overwhelming Grace. And so here we are, we're opening up the Bible, or you're flipping to it on your phone or your iPad or your tablet. And we do it, we open and read it so much that it's easy to forget that the Bible is filled with the wonderful promises of God. This is God's promise book to you. And every generation that has chosen to turn away from this world and follow him by faith with their lives. The Bible is filled with wonderful and glorious promises. He offers so much to those who look to him. That could just be the turning point for you right now in your situation, is to turn to God. Why you've gathered here, why you're watching online or flipping through the radio, you are here to turn to God and be reminded of all that he offers you. And in our study today, God makes a remarkable and powerful promise to a man by the name of Abram. And really, all of the beginning of Genesis is leading us right here to chapter 12. I know that many of you enjoy the first 11 verses because you're more scientific and you love that part of the creation and the marvels of God, but I need to remind you that the first 11 chapters were intended to get us to chapter 12. Because the whole Bible, as fascinating as it is with science and with the creation account, and as fascinating and all the foundational doctrines, very important, we studied them verse by verse. I'm not in any way minimizing their importance. However, remember the Bible is about Messiah. It's getting us to the Savior. It's pointing us to Jesus Christ and the promise that's going to come through Abram. God is revealing himself to one man who heard that promise and believed it and lived his life based upon it. And I dare say that the world has literally never been the same since this man, Abram. Remember back in chapter 11 and verse 26, it says that Terah lived 70 years and he begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. As we look ahead, I want you to keep this in mind. We're going to spend a couple of studies in Genesis 12. I wanted to tackle the whole chapter, but as I was putting it together, I thought we should pause a little bit just to spend some time in this chapter. I want you to remember that Abram was not a perfect man. As greatly as he was used, he was not a perfect man. His faith in God was not perfect either. He had his struggles, his stumbles, his failures. You could even say he had some amazingly huge failures in his life. Yet in God's great love, he reaches down to Abram and blesses him. and extends a beautiful promise, or we'll learn the word covenant. He makes a covenant with Abram to a very normal, everyday man who would later become, as we know him today, the father of faith. And it's so vital that you grasp this, church, that you grasp this chapter, that you grasp this individually. It's not merely the story or the true story of a man, but of all men and women. This is our story. This is our story because there's a pattern that we see here of how God speaks and uses men and women today by faith. How God will call you out of your current situation, speak to you in a difficult situation, get your attention in some way. I dare say there are those listening to me right now that have a similar story of God getting your attention. And through a circumstance, through a series of behaviors, through a moment in time, it wasn't a burning bush, it wasn't a voice from heaven, but nonetheless, God got your attention. And if you chose to respond a different way, you'd have a different story. But you didn't. You chose to respond toward God, not away from him. And that is the story of Abram, that he chose to respond to God. And you know, what I love about the Bible as we start to study this man's life is that it's not written like a textbook in cold, dry language and words that are hard to understand and terminology you have to figure out. But God just says it like it is. And I appreciate people like that in my life. Just say it like it is. As we were looking at the gift of exhortation, you could say a person, a man or a woman with the gift of exhortation says it like it is. Sometimes it's delivered a little difficult, but nonetheless, it's just the way it is. That's how God is. He speaks the truth. And when he speaks of the men and women that he uses, he includes their weaknesses, their failures. He includes the whole truth and doesn't sidestep anything. You know, because if God only included the good things in those that he used, we might read the Bible and go, you know what, I can never be used. None of these people are like me. These guys are all perfect and I'm all jacked up and I don't think God could ever use me. But you notice in the Bible, everyone that God used was jacked up. Everyone. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There isn't an innocent one among us. Sure, there are some differences perhaps in the consequences or the level of sin or what we got into or whatever. But the reality is that God tells us the truth because the truth speaks to us. The Bible does say, you know, that God is looking for people to use. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, he says in chapter 5, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, see now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there's anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I'll pardon her. So you come to God and he accepts you in Christ and begins to change you from the inside out. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by their calamity. Jot that down. Some of you need to remember this and memorize it. Proverbs 24, 16. Well, I quote it all the time. That's the address. Though a man fall 7 times, he'll rise again by the grace of God. And it doesn't matter how many steps you've taken away from him. It doesn't matter how many things that people identify your sin and your failure. If you repent, God will receive you and begin the work of restoration immediately. Immediately. I love that. Now, by way of review, before we jump in, I want to remind you as we enter a new section that Genesis is broken up into 2 sections, 4 events and 4 people. You remember the 4 events we've already looked at. So we've studied the 4 events. Chapters 1 and 2 is the event of creation. Chapters 3 through 5 tell us about the fall of man. Chapters 6 through 9, the flood. And then chapters 10 through 11 are the nations. Now we start the section of Genesis, which take up most of the chapters of the 4 people. From chapters 12 through 25, we're going to learn about Abraham. 25 through 26, Isaac. 27 through 36, Jacob. And then finally, 37 through 50, the life of Joseph. And so for the next 13 chapters or so, we're going to be studying the life of Abraham. Notice with me verse 1, chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now remember, the backdrop of chapter 12 is the Tower of Babel. So from the Tower of Babel here to chapter 12, a lot of time has passed. Seven different dynasties of Egypt, old kingdom, had already come and gone by the time Abram was born. Abram in his pagan, idolatrous culture, the son of a pagan priest. Okay, understand that. Abram in a pagan, idolatrous culture, the son of a pagan priest, hears the word of the Lord. To me, that's are you serious? God can speak in any situation, in any difficult, any rebellious heart, that he can reach anyone? The answer to that is yes. And that's where we have this man is being spoken to by God. It says, the Lord said to Abram. In the middle of this horrible culture, in the center of a godless society, God spoke to him and reached out to him. And to me, it's just the wonder of God's overwhelming grace. How many times that story is told over and over and over again. You know, when you see the difficulties all around us, it's easy to think that it's just a hopeless situation. You've looked at A, B, C, and D, and you've added it all up, and it's hopeless. Never going to change. And so what happens? You start to jump in with your assessments. You come to the wrong conclusion. Listen, when you come to the wrong conclusion, that wrong conclusion will lead you to wrong responses. So you're like, well, look, there's nothing. Nothing's going to happen. I don't know how God could reach anybody in this godless culture. And so with that, you begin to say, well, we better do this, and I want to change this. But the reality is God is at work everywhere. His grace reaches into the midst of idolatry and paganism. Regardless of the culture and the surroundings, the voice of God is going forth. You just tune your ears and respond to him. The call comes to, regardless of the circumstances, despite the surroundings, apart from the depravity of the culture. I think of the heritage of our own church family, Calvary Chapel. The very beginnings of this group of church, and wasn't the only church being used during that time. There were quite a few churches that were just filled with the rejects of society. Back then, it was the hippies. It was the hippies getting all high on LSD and getting caught up in the culture and protesting and throwing, you know, everything was just out of control back then. And God said, it doesn't matter to me what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter to me what's happening in the politics. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high they are on LSD, how messed up they are in their minds, how many brain cells have been lost. God says, I can even restore brain cells in people's lives if they will turn to me. And he poured out his spirit in a powerful way. And people like me, now I wasn't a hippie, I wasn't alive back then, but let me tell you a little secret. You ready? Don't tell anybody I said this. But if I was alive back then, I would have been a hippie, I'm sure of it. Just checking out and being high and partying all the time, that was my life, different generation. And here I am, walking into a church like this. One of the foundational cores of this church, it's not on the website, it's not in our doctrinal statement. It's not in our axioms. It's in my heart, okay? It's not on the website. It's not in the packets. It's in my heart. One of the foundational parts of this church is in my heart, and it's this. I want to be a part of a church where a guy like me can walk in as messed up as he is and get saved. That's my heart. Doesn't need to be up on the website. If this church ever becomes a place where a guy like me can't walk in, can't be among us, can't receive the gospel through us, that we start looking at the world differently and write people off like me, I don't want to be a part of it. I can assure you, if the church ever becomes that, I'm finding another church. Because that's not the church of Christ. The church of Christ is reaching, I think it was D.L. Moody perhaps, I forget who said this, but he says that God reaches even to the guttermost. When you start letting the world, you know, think, oh, this paganism, and I can't believe it, and what are they doing, and what's happening here, and look what they're doing, and I can't believe what's happening to our country, and we need our country back. Listen, you need to have a heart for people. It's people. Jesus Christ, he died for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. It was just a few hours ago, we saw this room filled with families. And I'm always, you know, it's a beautiful thing in my own heart where I always wonder, I wonder about the stories in this room. I don't get to hear them all. I get to hear some, but I don't get to hear them all anymore. And I wonder, I remember putting our own son Eddie into a Christian school. That was like never in a million years could you have ever thought that was something that we did. We put our son, Marie and I, put our son in a Christian school, and we were rank unbelievers. But they had cheap childcare and got Jesus at the same time. I thought, man, well, that's a deal. Two for one. I'm always in for a good deal. And that started a pathway of relationships and connections. And although I didn't get saved at that church, it ended up leading us to another church and softening our heart along the way. You have a story. And so did Abram. Abram, you know, didn't control where he got, where the family he was born into or the land that he came to or what happened when he was young and crossing this border. And he didn't control any of that. And God still loved him. And who are we to write people off? Who are we to get all bent out of shape because something here and something there? It's all grace. It's a grace for you and it's grace for them. It's a grace for me and it's a grace for her. It's all grace. None of us deserve anything. Nothing. Well, if you do get what you deserve, you don't ask for what you deserve. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when you think of Abram, you think, this is God reaching down to the unexpected. To the one that you would, hey, you're looking for someone? Hey, I know where. He's right in the middle of that pagan priest's house. His kid. Use him. No. We should go to the seminaries. We should go somewhere where there's good Christian. No. That's the guy. Because when I use Abram, you can hear it in the heart of God. When I use Abram, it'll blow everybody's minds. And I alone will get all the credit. Let me show you this in the New Testament, lest you think I'm just making this up. I'm not making it up. I don't make things up. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2. You got to go here because this is one of the foundational. I want you to see it in your Bible. So go all the way to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. Jot it down. If you can't catch up, you can look it up later. Because I want, this is foundational to understand the grace of God. Now, I'm not going to give a deep explanation of the grace of God, but I do want to shed light on this is what's happening to Abram before this was even written. Before it was even written. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8. Ephesians 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and then mark that phrase, not of yourselves. That faith is not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. And it's not of any of your works. So you don't earn it. You can't say, well, here I am. I'm here because of my hard work. No, you're not. You're here by the grace of God. And it's not by works. Why? So that no one would boast. We have nothing to boast in. And it says, as I mentioned, we are his workmanship, his poema, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Like the reality is that the grace of God creates an environment where we are all equal and none of us can boast. There's nothing that we have to offer. Apart from Christ, we would all have the same ending, a destiny and an eternity apart from him. It's all grace. It's not 55%. It's not 65%. It's 100% the grace of God, and it's 0% anything that we could boast in. It turns us into hearts of appreciation. It's like, man, God, you're so good. You're so good to us. So coming back to Genesis 12 now, speaking to Abram, idolatry, difficulty, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation, verse 2. I'm going to bless you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, mark this word, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Five times There is movement of God's part toward Abram of what he will do. Five I wills. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. It's not mentioned there, but it's implied. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. God is speaking with Abraham and promising him something great. But he places all the emphasis upon himself. On the one hand, you're going to act Abram, but on the other hand, God says, I'm going to do it for you. And it's important here to remind, just to be reminded here today, no matter where you are in life, what your status in life is. It's just pause for a second and let me remind you that God desires to bless you. In the most purest sense, God's desire is to bless you. He says it right here. I'm going to bless all the nations through you, Abraham. It's all going to come through this covenant. You're going to be a big part of it. It started in the garden, but now Abram, in the middle of idolatry, pagan, city, it's like, you're going to be a part of something special. The whole world's going to be blessed because of you. You could look back today, you right now, us, we right now, listening, can go back and go, thank you. Of all the people you want to see in heaven, I wonder how many of you have Abraham on your list. Just to go up and say, thanks, bro. Thanks for listening. Thanks for obeying. Thanks for being a part of the plan. It all came through you. I know you want to see Noah. What was it like with the ark? And, Adam, how was the garden walking with God without sin? There's all these things. But, make sure Abraham's on your list. Hey, thanks for listening. This section of scripture, this man of faith, this is almost every missionary ties their call to this scripture. Every church planner ties this call to the scripture. Everyone that steps out in faith kind of goes back and says, oh, the Lord spoke to me through chapter 12. Yes, yes. Get up and go do something different than you're doing right now. Some of you go to the mission field. Some of you go plant a church. I was talking to a brother this afternoon as I did an airport run and I was coming back to the office. I was speaking to him. And what did he do? It's time to step out. He's going to go launch off. Move a couple thousand miles away from Colorado and go obey what God's call upon his life. Get up and get out. And as you get up and get out, what are you going to experience? You're going to experience the I wills of God. What God's going to do on your behalf. We get all into our head like, oh, I'm going to do a great work for God. I'm going to do a great work for you. You're not going to do any great work for God. God is going to do the great work, and you're going to get to be a part of it. It's His work. It's His work.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we study through Genesis and learn of God's abounding grace. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. Are you interested in hearing this again? It's easy to do when you visit aboundinggraceradio.com or through our church app. Just do a search for Ed Taylor in the App Store or Google Play to download that to your mobile device. We're also on oneplace.com. Well, Pastor Ed, we turn the calendar today, and here we are on April 1st. And with that comes a new resource to share with our listening family. What can you tell us about Humility by Andrew Murray?
Yeah, Larry, this is one of those books that is essential for your Christian library. Of course, I'm saying that about every single book, but this one is a classic on the topic of humility by Andrew Murray. It's one of those resources where the description and the explanation of humility is something that's needed in the 21st century. And just for those of you that want to grow deeper in your walk with the Lord, you want to grow deeper in your usability for the Lord, get this book, whether you get it through us or you get it wherever you get books. I mean, of course, if you get it through us, it supports the ministry. We appreciate it. It helps pay the bills that we have putting Abounding Grace on. But these are the kind of resources we want in your hands. Humility by Andrew Murray, a classic and an essential.
You can order this and other helpful resources at calvaryco.store. And thank you for your support, as it allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to stations like this one every day. We're constantly hearing from folks all over the world that are being blessed, and your gifts are helping to make that possible. You can donate through our website at aboundinggraceradio.com. abounding grace.com. And here's a question for you. How has Abounding Grace blessed you? We want to hear about it. It's easy to share your thoughts and prayer requests at aboundinggraceradio.com. Scroll down to the bottom of our homepage and connect with us. We'll return to Genesis next time out on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. We'll see you then.
This is Amazing Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.